Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. We see a repetitive form in this book. At the end of each chapter, at least the way they're divided, Paul hearkens again to the coming of the Lord. So now we're going to look at that a little more in detail. This part is more concerned with doctrine than most of the letters. Kind of, Paul's really just discussing his relationship with the Thessalonians and making some references to things that I believe are very important, that are overlooked in Christianity today because they preach a selfish gospel. A gospel where you only really care about yourself. A gospel where, you know, you just want to get saved, be done with it. And then you try to be like Christ, but you know, they just miss it. There's just something lacking. Filled with false doctrines, as we're going to see, the church is filled with false doctrines. Verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, but even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you all and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. I read it like that because this is lost. Honestly, it is so lost in so many places. People don't, when I try to tell people, they're like, well, nobody's perfect. I'm like, all right, I don't know many perfect people. But it's like, Abraham had never seen an 80-year-old woman give birth either. But did that stop him from believing God? No. He believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. If you don't believe this, then you have no righteousness. You have nothing imputed to you. See, when God promises that he's going to, as in the last chapter, make you increase in love, he's going to establish your hearts unblameable in holiness, you have to believe him. Because if you don't believe him, you're stepping outside of faith and you will not be imputed with, you know, imputed is when righteousness is given before it's actually even obtained literally. Okay, where he counts you righteous while you're still working on things. But it still has to appear. Just like Abraham had to receive Isaac. And that's going to be something I'm going to probably say for the rest of my life. Because the faith of Abraham, by which righteousness was imputed, was followed up by God with the delivery of the promise. And the promise is not just resurrection. Though that's the most wonderful and important. And it's not just the kingdom. And it's not just escaping the fires of hell. It is receiving in your body the likeness of Christ manifest in a sinless life, righteousness, holiness, possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor, walking in honor, as it says, walking worthy of the calling of God, worthy of God, who has called you to his kingdom and glory. That's from chapter 2, verse 12. He's saying, I beseech you. It's a very sincere request. An exhort. Then he's like, that's the word where we get the same idea of like the comforter. It means to call to one side to speak to him. It means like I'm taking you, putting my arm around you, and I want to talk to you very seriously about something. Or Well, with all gravity, okay? That's what I want to do when I exhort you. Is that have a sincere heart-to-heart, so to speak. By the Lord Jesus, I exhort you by the Lord Jesus. I mean, invoking the name of Christ. That as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. Meaning, I instructed you in the ways of righteousness. There's a way you ought to walk. And there's a way you ought to please God. You must do that. Okay? But we can't do that by the works of the law, as we learn in Romans. Go back to Romans. Paul would have taught this, that we need to do it by the hearing of faith, meaning believe it. And it will be imputed to you, and then it will be performed. And you would abound more. We want you to have more and more and more. Like add your faith, virtue to your virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, brotherly kindness to brotherly kindness, love. And those things are supposed to abound in you. More and more. More and more. Tribulation worketh patience, which worketh experience. And this is all good. More and more and more. You know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. By the Lord Jesus, we gave you certain commandments. This is the will of God. One, you say, he says fornication. Okay, that right off the bat. Fornication is an easy one. Fornication is a fancy word. Sexual immorality, okay? It's the best way to put it these days. Sexual immorality. That'd be homosexuality, pornography, masturbation, just anything outside of marriage having to do with sex. Fornication. Oh, well, inside marriage there's adultery. But this is, you know, adultery is also fornication. It's just more specifically adultery. Fornication. A lot of this kind of, you know, harlotry, as it's sometimes called, or adultery, incest, can actually be figuratively thought of as idolatry. And also, in some idolatrous practices, fornication was actually a part of it. They had temple prostitutes and so on and so forth. so fornication was a big part of life, you know. Even the patriarchs, you know, Judah, when he conceived Phares and Zerah, when he fathered them, he thought he was with a prostitute, but he was with his daughter-in-law, whom he had done wrong.